Good morning, Second Service. Great to have you here. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2, begin reading with verse 19, and I'll read through the remaining part of the chapter, which is verse 30. This is the 13th message in a series through the book of Philippians, and we've arrived at a point where Paul stops talking so much about principles and spends a few moments talking about people that have been encouraging and influencing in his life. If you remember, we started several weeks ago. The Apostle Paul began by saying to the church at Philippi, "You're in my heart and you're on my mind. And every time I pray, I remember to pray for you." He moved from there to the thought that God has begun a good work in us, and we need not fear. He who has started will finish. He who has begun a good work in us will keep on working in us and through us until he brings us to the day of redemption, the time when the rapture occurs or when we die and go to be with the Lord. He then talked about his struggles. You see, Paul was in a prison writing to the church at Philippi. And he said, "I want you to know, brothers, that that which has happened to me has been in the best interest of the gospel, because I've been bold and faithful to write to you from prison and to stand my ground for Christ. Many of the brothers and sisters have become confident in their own faith, and the gospel has spread, so adversity is not necessarily the enemy of the gospel." He said, because times have been tough, the people of God have gotten tougher, and they've preached the gospel with power and with insight. And then he makes his life statement: "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "I know it would be good if I stayed here with all of you and ministered to you and blessed you, and I'll do that if that's God's will. But if when I hear the footsteps headed toward my cell, it's my time to be drug out of the prison and beheaded for the cause of Christ, I'll rejoice, because absent from the body is present with the Lord. For me to live, that's Christ. For me to die, that's gain." And then he said, "The perfect pattern has been sent to you. Remember this, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became like sinful flesh." He became like us so we could be like him. And he said, look at that pattern. Look at the author and the finisher of your faith. Strive for that. Emulate that. Because in this world, it's dark. So he said, you need to be a light. In this twisted and corrupted and crooked generation, you need to be blameless and spotless and without reproof. He said, I want you not to grumble and complain. I want people to see Christ in you. I want you to rejoice. I'm rejoicing and I'm in jail. You rejoice with me and you rejoice for me. And then it comes to today's text, where he has laid aside, speaking of certain principles, and he describes two people who have tremendous influence and impact upon his life. One of them is Timothy, and he says of Timothy, Timothy is a servant with proven worth. And then the other is Epaphroditus. Why anybody would name their child Epaphroditus, I have no idea. But at least it was 2,000 years ago and it hadn't caught on. But he says of Epaphroditus, he is a servant with a powerful witness. So Timothy, proven worth. Epaphroditus, a powerful witness. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him. Don't forget that phrase. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Willing to risk it all. A servant with proven worth, and a servant with a powerful witness. Two men in the life of the Apostle Paul that impacted, influenced, and made a difference. Examine with me young Timothy, a servant with proven worth. The first thing that is said about Timothy in verse 20 is that his love is sincere. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. No one like him. Is there anybody in your life that you can say of that person, there's no one like them? When I'm down and out, they show up and encourage me. When I'm broken and struggling, they pray for me. When I'm troubled, depressed, discouraged, and defeated, they come to my rescue. I don't know what I would do if it were not for her or him. There's no one in my life like that. Do you have somebody in your life that you can say, there's nobody like them? And if you do, have you ever told them that? Have you ever told them how meaningful that relationship was? How much they blessed you? How, if it were not for them, your struggle would be so great and your burden so heavy? But I have even a better question. Are you that person in anybody else's life? Is there somebody else that could say, oh, if it weren't for her, if it were not for him, I don't know what I would do. There's nobody like them. That person comes to my rescue. That person prays for me. That person encourages me. And even if it hurts and stings, they tell me the truth. They are my friend. And when everybody else walks out, they walk in and they say, you're not in this alone. Are you that person to anybody else? If not, why not? You've been called to be a blessing. You've been called to serve God by serving others. You've been called to risk it all for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Paul said about young Timothy in verse 20, here's a fella whose love is sincere. He's a one of a kind. There's nobody like him. He's genuinely concerned for your welfare. He doesn't love because he has to. He loves because it's built into the fiber of his life. And he loves you no matter what the cost might be, no matter what the risk might be. Nobody like Timothy in my life. And I want to appeal to you this morning as a Christian. Be that person for some other person. And I want to appeal to you as a Christian. If somebody is that person to you, let them know about that. Give them some encouragement and show some gratitude, because many stand without that person. The saddest thing in the whole world is to have to say, no one. I have no one. But if you can say, there's no one like him, like her, how very blessed you are. It not only says that his love was sincere, it says his Lord was supreme. Look at verse 21. Everybody seeks their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying about Timothy? The reason he's somebody to me, the reason I don't have anybody like Timothy in my life, is because everybody else that I know is more interested in themselves than they are in Christ or anybody else. You know what he's saying? I've got some selfish people in my life. I've got some self-centered people in my life. It's all about them. It's not about others. He said the thing you can say about Timothy, he's not selfish and he's not self-centered. He does not seek his own. He seeks the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He seeks good things for God, not for himself. Warren Wiersbe's book that talks about this in the book of Philippians reminds us that if we are to have joy, it'll be because Jesus is first, others are second, and we put ourselves last. And he says about young Timothy, he's doing it that way. That's exactly what Timothy is doing. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Sometimes we sneeze, and because nobody calls us to check on us, we get our feelings hurt, and we start a little pity party, and we're all upset about the church not taking care of us. And that wasn't Timothy. Timothy was not self-centered and selfish. Now, don't get me wrong. We want to minister to as many as we can, as long as we can. And we want all of you to minister to one another. But you do realize that it's not nearly as much about us as it about him, and about all of them who have not heard about Christ. And young Timothy was not so much interested in himself as he was the things of Christ. And so Paul said about Timothy, his love is sincere and his Lord is supreme. And in verse 22, he said his life is surrendered. Listen to this. He said, you know Timothy's proven worth. We don't have to go on his own word. He's proven time after time after time his value to the cause of Christ and to me. He said, proven worth, how as a son with a father, he served me in the gospel. Here's what he said. We have a relationship like a son and a father. And then he said, Timothy and God have a relationship like a servant and a master. He's a son to me. He's a servant to God. He said his life shows forth that he cares about Christ and he cares about others. To me, he's a son. We've got a relationship that regardless of how I hurt, he can help. How I feel, he can come alongside. What I need, he's there to minister to me. A son-father relationship, tight, bound union in Christ. But he said, oh, even more than that, I watch this young man, Timothy. I watch his proven worth as he moves and ministers, and I see in him a servant of the Lord God Almighty. Oh, what he has said about Timothy is that Timothy is proven worth. He has a testimony that he is proven worthy of the gospel. And then he comes to the second one, Epaphroditus, a servant with a powerful witness. And he begins immediately to describe Epaphroditus just like he described Timothy. The first thing he says about him in verse 25 is this, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. You see all those five characteristics of his life? He said, here's what this young man does. He's like a brother to me. He's a fellow worker. He's a soldier. He's a messenger. And he is a minister. Now I want to ask you a question. I hope this cuts deep because it did me as I studied for the passage. If your ministry at Central Church was being described Which one of those five characteristics, if any, could truly, authentically be said of you? Are you somebody's brother or sister that sticks close, that's there, that's friend and comrade and companion in the gospel? Are you somebody's somebody where they can say of you, nobody like him or like her? Well, that's what they said about Epaphroditus. He's a brother. We are bound together in Christ. That's our common ground. That's what brings us together. What else is said about him? He's not only a brother, he's a servant. Would people describe you as a servant? If folks began to describe your ministry in and through this church, would people say, why, you find them Monday after Monday at the food pantry serving others? Why, that's the person who greets you when you walk through the door, hands out a bulletin. That's the person who serves, who teaches. That's a person who ministers. That's a person you can find in the hospital praying over somebody that's sick. When you describe him, when you describe her, you do so by the word servant. If you were to look up servant in the dictionary, right there is where their picture would be. They are servants of Jesus Christ. And this next one. They're a soldier. Don't you mess with them. They've got the armor of the Lord on. They got a sharp sword, and they'll love you. But if you threaten the gospel, if you threaten the church, if you threaten the ministry, they will stand strong for the cause of Christ. They know who they are in Jesus. They know what they believe, and they're going to be soldiers of the cross because they've been given a banner for display, and they're going to display it. They're going to stand up. It doesn't matter what's politically correct or powerfully influencing around them. They're going to stand strong for Jesus Christ. They are not only like a brother and a servant, they're a soldier and they're a messenger. They've got something to say and they have the courage to say it. We've all got something to say, but not a lot of us have the boldness to say it. They've got something to say, and the messenger is going to deliver the message. And not only that, they're a minister. You're going to catch them praying over folks. You're going to catch them hugging necks. You're going to watch them as they go about the business of touching lives and changing circumstance because they care. Because they care. A servant of the Lord Jesus lays it all down. He or she is willing to risk it all. And they said of Epaphroditus, he had this balance in his life. He was a little bit to everybody for the glory of God. He also said his life was a blessing. He ministered to Paul's needs. He was a blessing to Paul. How many of us in this room this morning would love to have a blessing? I mean, I hear people all the time say, I got a blessing from church yesterday. I got a blessing from church last Sunday. Wednesday night was good. I got a blessing. I'm glad about that. But I just wonder, when you get up and pray, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, have you ever prayed, Lord, use me to bless somebody else? Lord, today, even if I don't get a blessing, help me to be a blessing. Now follow me. Listen closely. In God's economy, here's how this works. You may not get a blessing until you learn how to be a blessing. Because being a blessing is a blessing. Some of you got that. I mean, that's exactly what it is. When you're a blessing to somebody else, God says, thanks, boom, and you get a blessing. In fact, the biggest blessing in all this world is knowing you've been a blessing to somebody else. So you see, we get it backward. Lord, bless me, so I can bless others. No, you bless others. And God will bless you. That's the cycle in God's economy. You do good, God does good to you. Every perfect gift that God gives, He gives to you so you can give it to somebody else, so when they get it, they can get blessed so He can give you more. Empty out the storehouse, He'll fill it. Empty it out, he'll fill it. Bless others, he'll bless you. That's the cycle. This man was a blessing. Now I'm going to stop preaching for a moment and meddle, if you don't mind, because the next thought is this. His life was never a burden. So let me fill in a couple of verses here, beginning verse 26 through verse 28. Epaphroditus got sick. He almost died. We're not told what he was sick with, but he was bad sick because he almost died. And then he heard that the church at Philippi heard that he was sick, and they were all worried about him. And then here's what he said. I am sorry that my sickness made you anxious, because I don't want anybody looking at me. I don't want anybody having to minister to me. I'm not looking for anybody to take care of me. I don't want to take your mind off of him and them, so I don't want to be a burden to anybody. Now, that's convicting. That's challenging. That's a verse that tells us that our little pity parties and our grumble sessions are not honoring to God. That what you and I really need in our lives is to get our eyes off of ourselves and on to others, so that we become instruments used in the hand of an awesome, miraculous, healing God. He didn't want to be a burden to anybody else. Now please, listen closely. I hear now and then somebody, I've been to the hospital, this happened, that happened. I didn't call because I didn't want to be a burden. That's not right. I want to tell you right now, that's not right. Pastors want a pastor. Ministers want a minister. And you need to let us know if there is a spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, mental need in your life so we can come alongside of you. Understood? Here's what it does mean. You and I need to be more concerned about others than we are about ourselves. That's what it means. I need to be more concerned about you than I am about me. You say, well, Pastor, how you do that? Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm a winner either way. If I live, I can live for Christ. If I die, I can go home to be with the Lord. Paul said, you don't have to be concerned about yourself if you know and know that you know. He said, your concern needs to be for others. Jesus, others, yourself. That's where joy comes from. He said, I don't want to be a burden with my life. And then there's one more thing said about Epaphroditus. His life was balanced. It was a blessing. He didn't want to be a burden. And his life was filled with boldness. Look at verse 29 and following. Paul said, when Epaphroditus gets there, I want there to be a celebration. Receive him with all joy. Why should there be a celebration of his life? Because he almost died doing what you, the church at Philippi, failed to do. He stood in the gap for you. He stood up for you. You were supposed to take care of me, and you failed to some extent, and Epaphroditus came along, took your place, stood in the gap, and so when you see him, you need to celebrate him with joy, because this man stood in the gap, took your place, did an honorable, holy thing for the cause of Christ. He said, not only do I want you to celebrate him, he said, I want you to commemorate him, receive him with honor. Anybody who will lay it all down, who will risk his life, who will serve in your place, you need to honor that man. You need to respect that man. He does not need to become a joke in your midst. He is somebody for God, nobody like him. So respect him as somebody who has stood in the gap and done an honorable job for the cause of Christ. Let me just stop and tell you something. One of the privileges of being the pastor at this church for 37 plus years is this. I can look way, way, way back to when this section right here in just one of our services would have been a big church. In fact, we sent more off to Infuge this morning than we had the first Sunday I preached at Central Church long years ago. I remember some fellas and some women who stood in the gap. I remember a man bringing a sack full of money, a Kroger sack full of money, dollar bills, $5 bills that he'd saved all year long and putting it on the altar when we needed it most. My mind reflects upon men and women who have stood in the past, and you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting this morning had they not done so. And a few of them have been privileged to come to this campus, to one of our services, and look at what God has done and given him such praise and honor and glory that it is an unbelievable blessing to me. There's some fellows and there's nobody like them. There's some ladies and there's nobody like them who have stood with boldness, and we need to celebrate them and we need to commemorate them, because in honor they have done that which Christ needed done at a time when you couldn't, and I couldn't do it. There's one more thing. He was a man full of courage. Boy, do we need folks with courage today. It said of him, he was willing to risk his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. He was willing to lay it all down. He risked his life. I know that we marvel sometimes at missionaries who go into dangerous territories to witness for Christ. Let me tell you something. The United States of America, we risk a great deal sometimes standing for the good news of the gospel. And it's not going to get easier. It's not going to get better. Strife, trouble, difficulty is not going away. If you're not in it for the long haul, you might as well leave now. Because we're not going to see days of rejoicing throughout our land. We're going to see days of judgment, days of trouble, days of trial. And the remnant's going to be caught out and called together in days to come. And I want you to know, it's going to take boldness. It's going to take fear of God and not of man. It's going to take the willingness to risk it all. It's going to take the idea and the ideology, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I go home to be with Jesus. You can't defeat me because I'm already victorious in the blood of Christ. Willing to risk it all. A servant of Almighty God, whose proven worth and powerful witness magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's my question this morning. Can we say of you, can it be said of you, that there's nobody like you? You love like nobody else loves? That the Lord is supreme in your life and that you are surrendered? Can it say of you that the characteristics that describe you are those characteristics that resemble Jesus when he was here on this earth? That your life is a blessing, that you don't want to be a burden to anybody, that you're bold for the cause of Jesus Christ? Can that be said of you this morning? What is your worth? What is your value to the cause of Christ? What is your worth and your value to Central Baptist Church? You remember the little poem that says, what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? So if everybody gave what you give, if everybody prayed like you pray, if everybody attended like you attend, that's the point. Aren't you willing to risk it all knowing that he gave it all? Could it be said of you that you are a servant with proven worth and a powerful, powerful witness? Now, I know the message has been primarily to Christians, but please know this, that if you're in our congregation this morning and you are not absolutely certain that Christ is your Savior, these things cannot be true of your life until, first of all, Jesus is Lord in your life. And if there's uncertainty in that area, there will be pastors here that will welcome you coming and talking to them about how to be saved and how to know and know that you know that you are. But for the rest of us who know that we're Christians, The question is then, have you laid it all on the altar? Have you sold out to Christ? Are you willing to risk it all? Can it be said of you that you are His hands, His feet, His eyes, His voice, His ambassador, His messenger, His servant on this earth? If not, why not? He does not ask you to die for Him. He did the dying. He asks you to live for Him. And He gives us the abundant life that we may do so. In a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask everyone to prayerfully stay where you are. Just 3 or 4 more minutes, the service will be closed. And I want you who do not know for certain that you are saved to be bold enough to come to the altar and talk to a pastor. And I want any one of us who knows that our lives are not proven, our lives are not powerful, I want us to have time to come to the altar, kneel and pray, talk to a pastor, and make a commitment. I am willing to risk it all. Let's stand.